Welcome to ReligiousLiberty.tv. My name is Michael Peabody. When I was a kid, I read a book about the experiences of a boy who grew up in Hitler's Germany and, like others of his generation, was required to join the Hitler Youth. The book is entitled Under the Blood Banner, and the author and the man who lived the story, Eric Cry, joins us today. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be present.
One of the things that I think makes your story fascinating is the fact that you had an international perspective before the war even began. Why don't you tell us where you were born?
I was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan. My parents had come from Germany in 1924 and 25, married in New York, and then they moved to Grand Rapids.
So when your family moved to Germany, how old were you?
I was 4 years of age when my parents returned to Germany.
So between 1924, when your parents first left Germany, and 1935, when they returned, I would assume things had changed quite a bit there.
There was a tremendous difference because they went through the... Germany had also a very difficult time with their economy about that time.
And what was going on with the economy when they returned to Germany?
The depression.
So they were experiencing an economic depression in Germany at that time. And how did your parents respond to the economic situation?
Well, my parents operated at a farm and a restaurant. And so they were... They did not have a difficult time since they grew their own food. And so for them, it was not that difficult.
So how are the people in the community surrounding their business coping with the economy?
Well, the people in the community, many of them had a very serious situation with unemployment. And it was Hitler who actually helped the people and the farmers that had a difficult time. Hitler put them back on their feet. And that's one reason he was so successful to win the people over to himself.
When he first came into power, did it seem like a positive thing to a lot of the people there?
Yes. They were very pleased, actually. They didn't know, of course, all he had in mind. And it was very he was very successful in winning people over to his views.
In your book, you tell a story about your experiences in a classroom where a teacher was asking you questions about Hitler's life. What were children expected to learn at that time about Hitler's life?
Every young child was asked to memorize the life story of Hitler. And my father, since my father was anti-Nazi, he had asked me not to take part in that. And when I was asked to come to the front of the class to recite out of Hitler's life story, I couldn't do it, so I was beaten. I was beaten in front of the class.
Were most of the children able to recite Hitler's life story?
Most of them did it gladly. There were two of us in the classroom that did not cooperate, and we both had to suffer for that.
Did your parents find out about that?
Oh, yes. My father was very upset. He supported me.
We often hear about brainwashing that went on during that time. What type of propaganda was there? Were there pictures of Hitler everywhere?
His picture was displayed everywhere, yes, in every classroom, a large photo.
Was there any inkling or hint that Hitler was intending to begin taking over the rest of the world and was engaged in actions that would ultimately lead to the Holocaust?
Not at that time. That was not evident.
Now, your father wasn't supportive of the Nazi Party, was he?
Well, since he had lived in America 11 years, he was 100% positive that if Hitler got into a situation with America, he would be defeated.
So, at that time, did you start to see Germany arming itself in a very public way?
It was very, very obvious that Hitler was preparing for something big.
And what kind of evidence did you see that Germany was beginning to arm itself for something big?
Everywhere the evidence was his soldiers well prepared, and it was obvious that something was going to happen.
Now, at some point, all German boys were expected to be part of the Hitler Youth. How did that process work?
At 10 years of age, we were asked to join the Hitler Jungvolk, they called it. That means young folk at 10. All boys and girls were asked to be part of that system. At 14 years of age, it was the Hitler Jugend, or Hitler Youth. Everyone was expected to join.
So what were the meetings like?
Well, since at first it seemed so exciting, you know, and they enjoyed being involved in the activities. At first it was sports primarily and competition in various aspects. And later, of course, he was preparing us to actually be prepared to fight the enemy.
So it seems that there was a change from sports and recreation to military exercises. When did that change start coming in?
The first meeting, it was very interesting because we were involved in not only in sports, but also in the preparation as far as healthful living too. Proper exercise, proper nutrition, it all made good sense. That came more when I was around 14 years of age. There's another aspect. At 18 years of age, they called it the Arbeitsdienst, workforce. And my brother was in the Arbeitsdienst. They were the ones who prepared trenches and prepared actually helping the army. My brother, he was actually called to the Eastern Front by then. And by the way, these same young men at that age, they not only prepared trenches, but they also carried guns. So they were used in fighting the enemy too.
So during this time, where were you and your parents living?
We were in the country, in the valley. We lived not too far from the city of Hanover, and the closest town was Hameln, which is also known as the Pied Piper of Hameln, and that was probably about 5 kilometers away from our place.
You mentioned earlier that your father did not approve of you being required to learn Hitler's life story. Now, how did he feel about the requirement that you had to join the Hitler Youth?
Well, actually, my father didn't want me to attend the meeting. And many times he wrote excuses for me to work on a farm just to get out of the activities because he realized that we would just be brainwashed going to the meetings, especially toward the end of the war.
So how did the German government feel about the fact that your parents had lived in the U.S. for several years and that you, in fact, were born in America?
They were well aware of that. And my father was outspoken, and at times he almost got us into difficulty.
So what did your father say that almost got him into trouble with the Nazis?
Well, for instance, since we had a restaurant, he invited at one point some businessmen from town to have lunch at our place. And unfortunately, he drank a little bit too much alcohol, and he started opening up and giving his feelings about Hitler. And he publicly told this group of businessmen, he called Hitler das Gemüse. That means the vegetables. That's something very low. And they immediately realized how he felt about Hitler, and it took my dad 2 hours to lie himself out of the situation, or we might have been taken to a concentration camp. He was telling them that he was in favor of Hitler, which was a lie. Well, he had to be extremely difficult. We couldn't even listen to the radio if anybody was around, if we should listen to the British Broadcasting Network.
What was it like when the American planes began flying over Germany?
We were fortunate, of course, that we were away from the city. We could observe the attacks by the Allied Air Force. And Hannover, which was only 38 kilometers away from our town, our village, we could see them, the anti-aircraft would shoot at the American planes, and the searchlights of the Germans could be seen in the sky, and the Americans dropping phosphorus bombs, it would light up the whole sky.
Now, looking back at your childhood during the war, did it seem to you at that time that the war was ever going to end?
It was definitely on our mind constantly. We couldn't wait to see it end, and we were hoping and praying that the Allied forces would overrun Germany, which they eventually did, of course.
Now, at one point, Hitler issued an order for all the men up to the age of 60 to join the military, and your father was old enough to join the military at that point. How did he get out of that?
Because he had a farm, he was able to stay away from, he gave him permission to continue on the farm. By the way, towards the end of the war, the Hitler Youth at my age, 14 years of age, were given weapons as the Americans advanced to fight the Americans. I remember one day the Nazi official came to our door and asked for me to be part of that. And my father did not. He said, you're not taking my boy. And that alone showed that he was disagreeing with Hitler. But fortunately, they didn't put us in the concentration camp. He resisted. He resisted, my father.
So your father must have been quite a strong person, quite a bit of courage.
Yes, he was. By the way, there's something that you'd be interested in. We hit a Jewish lady and her daughter. There was another family in from another town. We would rotate and hide this lady. She lived in one of our rooms in our restaurant. And since we had other people who stayed in our hotel, it was easier for us to hide this person. But if they had found out that she was Jewish, we would have been taken to the concentration camp too.
Now, when did you first learn about the concentration camps and what was happening to the Jewish people?
We did not know about that for a long time. It was not well known. And probably many Germans didn't even believe that it was happening. In our case, we learned about it because my Jewish aunt, her parents were murdered by the Nazis. And that's how we found out about the concentration camp. But generally, it was not known.
And did you learn about that before the war was over?
Oh, yes.
Did the Nazis ever come and ask you who was staying at your hotel?
No, they never bothered us. Like I said, because we had other people living in our place, guests who came to our hotel, she was not recognized as a Jewish lady. She had pretty much stayed out of sight, too.
Was there a bombing that happened at your hotel or near your hotel?
At the very end, when the Americans were firing artillery onto the town of Hameln nearby, they overshot the town, and we were bombarded in our village. But fortunately, nobody was killed. But it was a terrible night. We were in the basement, and it was very noisy, and the explosions were terrific, and we were scared. We were in the basement.
During this time, were you able to listen to the radio from the Voice of America or the BBC?
We definitely every day listen to them. Extremely careful to get the exact story of the advancing of the Americans, British.
So did the soldiers come and stay at your hotel or go to your restaurant?
No, we didn't see them. At the end of the war, when they were running, the soldiers, away from the Americans, my dad shouted at them as they were running for the woods, the German soldiers. My dad shouted and said, throw away your guns. You're not going to win anyway. They could have shot him. Oh, yeah, when the Americans were in the next village, my dad took, he had still an American flag. He took the flag and put it under his coat, and we took our two bicycles, and we went to meet the Americans. And my father put a white, big white sheet on the house that showed we were giving up, we were surrendering. And so the American soldiers were amazed to see us come with a flag unfurled.
Now, after the war, did the occupation authorities arrest your dad?
My dad did have to serve for a short time in the Gestapo. It was a short time because he spoke English. They wanted him as a translator. Because he served for a very short time, the Americans put him in prison.
And how long was he in prison?
He served probably 4 to 6 months, something like that. And here he was in jail by the Americans. And that seems so strange.
After the war, where did you go?
My father asked for my brother and I to return to the United States. He said, Germany is in ruin. You have a much better future in America. And so in 1947, 2 years after the war, we had papers. Since we were citizens, you see, we were born in America, so we were citizens. We were able to return to the United States. And my uncle, Uncle Arthur, he lived in near Syracuse, New York. That's where we went. And my uncle and aunt were Seventh Adventists. And their lifestyle, I was deeply impressed, the way they lived and what they believed. And one more thing that I like to state, when I came by ship to America in 1947, my brother and I were on the SS Ernie Pyle, and as we approached the New York Harbor and saw the Statue of Liberty, that was probably the greatest highlight of my young life. I was 16 years of age, and I never forgot that.
How long after the war was it that you wrote the book, Under the Blood Banner?
1967, the book editor at the Pacific Press, Richard Ott, wrote my experience, some of the experiences, in a magazine called Junior Guide. And that sparked an interest, and the book editor thought at that time maybe having it in a book form would be even more interesting.
Uh-huh.
And so Mrs. Youngberg is the co-author. She actually wrote the story, and I contributed to much of the information, and so did my father.
I remember reading this book when I was in first or second grade, and it was had a real strong impact on me. And in fact, I really credit that book with getting me interested in issues having to do with liberty of conscience and ultimately becoming an attorney and working on these issues. And I was really glad to hear the book is now again in print. How can people get a copy of the book?
One way would be to contact Teach Services Incorporated. They have their website called tsibooks.com. I reprinted this book, originally published in Mountain View, California, but Teach Services reprinted it about 2 years ago, and there should still be copies available.
Excellent. And you also run a website, amazingjoy.com. What is that website about?
My wife and I had a real desire to have a Christian ministry. And the whole idea is to have people discover true happiness in life. And so on my website is also a link to my story. It can be read right on the website.
There are some fantastic resources available online for people who want to obtain a copy of Under the Blood Banner. They can go to Amazon.com and purchase a copy, or go to AmazingJoy.com, read the story online, or go to Teach Services and read the story there as well. We'll be posting links to these resources on religiousliberty.tv. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us.
Well, thank you very much. I really do hope that somebody will receive a blessing.